Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let me pray with you very briefly before I share what God has done in my life. Let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for everyone here, God. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and to dwell among us, to speak to us, to convict us, to bring us closer to you. Help us to love you with all our heart, to grow. Help us to leave today being closer to you, Lord God. We thank you for your mercies and your love in our lives. We thank you and bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Philip and the church, for inviting myself and my wife to be here this morning. We count it a privilege to be here to testify of what God has done. I will read very briefly scripture from Psalms 103, verses 1 to 5. And it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles?" Amen. So friends, verse 4 says, who redeems your life from destruction? My life was full of destruction. I was born in Sri Lanka, a country just south of India. Because of the civil war in the mid-1980s, our family moved to Germany. I come from a culture where honor to mother and father and family is very important. And so our family moved. We lived in Germany. I learned German. And then a few years later, we moved to France. And then 21 years ago, we moved to Canada. By the time I came to Canada, I had to learn four languages: Tamil, German, French, and English. I was confused. I didn't know how to speak English. I felt lost. I didn't know what the environment here was. I had one culture at home and one culture in school. I didn't know how to bring it together. I was born into a Hindu family where we grew up worshiping idols, where we're told mother and father are your gods. I love my mother and father. But they are not perfect. None of us are perfect. But I didn't know it. I loved to play soccer. And that's what I wanted to do all my life. I liked computers and electronics. But when I was in high school, I felt I went through a lot of racism. People of different colors were hard on us. So my friends and I, we came together. We felt we need to protect one another. If something happens to us, that we can come there and say, "I'm here to protect my brother." But eventually that became a gang where we had weapons and guns. If something happened, we would go and make sure that we are protected. 11 years ago, in 1999, my friend was beaten up by a group of gang members. Very bad. When I went to see him at the hospital, I didn't know he will survive. And I felt very guilty that I was not there to protect him. And just like that, the other gang members came to the hospital. We got together and we decided that we're going to do something about this. Me being his best friend, I felt responsible. Thank you. I felt responsible to do something about this. But I had no idea what was going to happen. Within 1 week, we were in various two or three cars. We had bats, we had guns, everything. We said, if we're going to see these guys, we're going to do something. We weren't sure exactly what we were going to do. So 1 week later, we got a phone call. And they said, "We saw the guys who beat up your friend." So immediately we left. I wanted to actually go home that night because I had a soccer tournament the next day. My mom is always worried when I'm out late at night. She will call and say, come home, son, come home. And I didn't go home that night. So when we went to the place where these guys were, it ended up being a very serious, violent event. It was shootings between two cars. I myself got shot in my left hand. Other people got shot. It was very violent. It was all over the news. And the next day, when I looked at the news, I was horrified. See, at that time, I was 19 years old. And I was going to college. I was doing an IT program. I was going to be graduating before I was 20 years old. And I had a job offer from a big company, paying me good money and giving me good experience. I didn't think of anything. I didn't think about the honor for my family. I left it all in the anger. There's a verse in the Bible in James, in the book of James, it says, the wrath of man, the anger of man, does not produce the righteousness of God. That was my anger. There was no God in it. 2 weeks later, I got arrested. But the day before I got arrested, I had a Chinese woman come and ring the bell. And I opened the door, and she gave us pamphlets, and she's inviting me to church. And all my life, I didn't believe in conversion. If you were born into a certain culture and religion, you stick with it. That's what I learned. I didn't know that there was a personal relationship with God. And I lied to her. I said, no, I'm going camping. I cannot come to your church. But the next morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, the police came and arrested me and dragged me away to prison. While I was in prison, I was so confused. I was so scared. I was full of fear, not knowing what's going to happen. I thought my life was done. So I asked another inmate in prison, I said, can you give me something to read, a book or something? I cannot think properly. So, by God's grace, he gave me a book placed by the Gideons. These guys place Bibles in hotels and prisons and everywhere. So I opened the book to Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. And I started reading. I didn't know what was going on inside, but I felt God's peace. And I started reading again. 4 or 5 times a day I would read. I would sit and I would read. And I would look for Jesus. But it was the Old Testament. So I don't find Jesus in there. But volunteers from the local churches will come to the prison and do Bible studies. They will say, brother, this is who Jesus is. I will open to the New Testament. And I read in Matthew 5 where he says, it is written, you shall love your neighbor. But I tell you, love your enemy. So when I read that, love your enemy, I sat there and I thought, how can I love my enemy who beat up my friend? That's impossible. And I sat and I was convicted. God was convicting me. And I said, God, if I can love my enemy, I can only do that through you. Only Jesus can help me to love my enemy. Those guys who beat up my friend, the people I don't like. So again, I went to a Bible study. People came from outside to visit. I sat there and we were worshiping and I felt peace in my life like I couldn't explain it. I didn't know what to say to people, but I wanted to get away from the old life. My life was ruined. I needed forgiveness. I needed to be healed. That verse I read, who redeems you from destruction? That's what God did. Because of man of God, a brother sat with me and explained what the gospel is. He explained that the Lord Jesus not just come to be a good example, but to die and to rise again and to give us life and to give us the person of the Holy Spirit to live in us. So 2 months after my arrest, in September of 1999, I gave my life to the Lord. I prayed. I said, Lord, come into my life. I am a sinner. I need you to forgive me, and I want to live a life that's pleasing to God. I was still 19, and I gave my life to God by His grace alone. I don't save myself, but God saved me. And I continued to read the Bible. There was no pillow at that time in the prison. It was a hard cover Bible, and I used to use it as my pillow. I would sleep on it. I would wake up and read it again and again. I would do Bible studies because I wanted to know more of God. I wanted to hear His voice and feel His touch so I can be healed. And other men in prison would tell me, you are changing. You're calm. There's something different about you. How come you're not using bad words anymore? Because God changes the heart. And we don't want to speak bad language. We want to speak good words. We want to speak godly words to people. And then, when I was sentenced, to this day, the person who was directly responsible for the shooting has not been charged, was never arrested. It was me and two other people that were arrested. And when sentencing came, I was given the heaviest sentence. I was sentenced to life imprisonment. They were able to keep me in prison for the rest of my life. I can die in prison. They said after 10 years, you will be eligible for parole. So I was sentenced and I was sent to the federal prison run by the federal government in Kingston, Ontario. When I went there, I felt so low. I was depressed. We read of King David in the Psalms where he says, I'm so down. We read so many prayers where he's crying out to God. So I sat on my bed and I cried out to God. I said, God, I have ashamed my family. I cannot live like this anymore. I'm in prison for life. How can I serve you? I did not doubt God's salvation. I was low. I just didn't know how God was going to use me. So I prayed that day. I said, God, I do not want to live anymore. When I go to sleep today, please take my life. Take it so I don't have to have my mother crying at home, my family being ashamed. Maybe they can forget about me. But God woke me up. He kept on waking me up. And then one day I was reading in Psalms 118. It says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. So God wants me to live and testify of His goodness and share the gospel that the Lord Jesus has come to live among us. He has died for us that we can live life with a purpose. So right in prison, God started using me again and again. They trained me to be a health counselor in prison. That's a miracle. And I was given permission to counsel other inmates, other prisoners who were low, who were sad, who lived a life of violence and crime. But when God's love and light shines their heart, no matter how hard we are, He can change us. He can transform us. And that's what happens. Men would come and say, what is about you? I feel at peace when I talk to you. And I know that is God. It's not me, but it's God. And so it was many years. Even after my year 2 and year 3 and year 4, I would say, God, release me. I think I'm ready. But I wasn't ready. I would say, Lord, do a miracle and release me. But He kept on doing many miracles in changing my own life. I would talk to my family on the phone and I would encourage them. I would tell them, don't worry. God will help. My family is all Hindu. And they will tell me, they were not sure in the beginning. They thought it was just something. I was getting brainwashed. But I said, no, when they come to visit me, they see the difference in my life. And when I spend time with them, I would encourage them. And they realized, and one day they said to me, this is real. You are a different person today. When you were young, you did this, you did that. But today you will not do any of that because your life has changed. And so friends, I spent 9 years and 2 months in prison. From the age of 19 till the age of 28, just before my 29th birthday, I was released. I sat in front of the federal government, three members of the government called the National Parole Board. And they questioned me. And we prayed that I will be able to testify of God's goodness. And I told them, it is not the prison programs. It is not the people, but it is God who has changed me. Because He has changed me, I can obey the law. I don't want to just go out of prison to go and live and make money. I want to go out to live a purpose, to serve God. And they looked at me and they believed me. They couldn't deny it. They asked me, how do we know you're not lying? I said to them, in the Bible it says, a tree will be known by its fruits. You will have to see my life, how I live it. By the strength of God, I will be able to live a life that is worthy. And so, by God's grace, in 2008, September, 2 years ago last month, I was released. And I came, and by God's grace, I was accepted into Tyndale Bible College. And by God's grace, this month I graduated. Friends, God is full of mercy and grace. There are so many things, but today I'm just here to say, what are we doing with our lives? Are we just in a normal routine? Are we too busy for God? Are we giving Him our time? Are we spending time praying and reading His powerful words? He's given us His gift. Are we sharing the gospel? The Lord Jesus promised that He will come back for us. He promised, and so He will come back for us. So if He is to come back tonight, are we ready? Is the Lord Jesus our Savior and Lord? Friends, He needs to be not just our Savior, but He needs to be our Lord, which means He's our ruler, our Master. Do we give Him access to every area of our lives? Work, school, family, our thinking, our desires? Why do not we give our life to God? If you have not made that commitment to the Lord, I pray today that you will talk to the Reverend, you talk to the elders, and you talk to them and ask them, and they will pray with you. Because when Jesus comes into your life, He makes you whole. We are here to be in a relationship with God. That's why God has created us. So if the Lord was to come back tonight, are we ready? It is said that every second, two people in this earth die. That's every second. Either we go to eternity with God or eternity in darkness. That is the truth. The Bible says that. Not me, but the Bible says that. So imagine how many people every day are dying without God. That is just how serious it is. And young people, give your life to God. The earlier we give our life to God, the more of a blessing it is. And He will walk with us and carry us and bring other believers, Christians, into our lives to encourage us. God will not leave us alone. He will be with us. So think about it today. And if God brings somebody into your life, share the gospel with them. Ask them if the Lord was to come back. Why take a chance? Why say maybe next year or when I'm older? Today, this is the day of the Lord. This morning, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Because without the Lord Jesus, we cannot be glad in it. My life is an extreme example of spending 9 years in prison. You don't have to wait until your life is down and out. You can choose right now. And if you've chosen already, make that serious commitment. Commit to God. Make priority to spend time with the Lord. And commit your children and your life to God. Serve Him wherever He has you, in your workplace, in your school, wherever you are, friends. God is good, and He is to be praised. It says beauty for ashes. In Isaiah 61, God says, when we give Him our ashes is the brokenness in our lives, bad relationships, the hurt, the sin. When we give our ashes, so when I was in prison, I gave my ashes to God. In Isaiah 61 says, for ashes He gives us beauty. He gives us beauty, His beauty. God is beautiful. So He restores us and He makes us strong. So we can live by the strength of God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So let the joy of the Lord, friends, be your strength. Amen. Let me pray with you. Holy Father, we are here today, God. Help us to be humble, to hear Your voice, and to feel Your touch. Help us to bow before You and receive Your mercies, O God. Not just that You save us, but You be the Lord of our lives. that you will be our master, our ruler. You love us with an unconditional love, Father. And we thank you. Help us to remember the privilege of being your children. Thank you for the gift of eternal life, Father. Thank you, Lord. Be with us. I pray for your blessing on everyone here today. Anoint them, O Lord God. Holy Spirit, teach us and help us to grow closer to you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We bless you and we honor you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.